611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion. Today we're reading Ezra chapter 2. It's the first returning among the three times of returning to a nation who had been destroyed for 70 years. Returning is a miracle. So to us, this history is a history of revival. A generation that has been silent or desperate or hopeless, suddenly revival can happen. The Spirit of God can move. So Cyrus, the king of Persia, fulfilled the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. But no, it's not just one command is given, then everything is fine and dandy. But today we read how the people react. So the Spirit of God moves the people. Those who are stirred up, they were moved, people from different places. When I read this chapter today, so it's a beginning of revival. The beginning of revival, the prelude. God has given us his revelation. God is telling us through this chapter today, if we look forward to revival, hope that revival can happen, we want to see our generation return. What is the revelation for us? How should we respond? So in the history of God's kingdom, how revival start with different people, with different vessels. Today, let's with an expectant heart that expect that our generation will experience the same. The title I will give for today, whoever is moved can respond to the calling of revival. Whoever is moved in their heart can respond to the calling of revival. So this is to respond to the chapter, yesterday's chapter, chapter 1, verse 5. With all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go up. And then it's the chapter today. These people were moved in the spirit. This group, this community here, their hearts were moved, stirred up. They want to return. They want to restore their life of worshiping God. And they want to rebuild temple. Revival started with these people. Who are they? So verse 1 and 2. Now these are the people of the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon. But now they are to go back to their own city. Where did they come? Who did they come with? Verse 2, 12 names were mentioned. Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah. Now these 12 were leaders at that time. And Zerubbabel, the first one, he is the descendant of king when he was taken captive. So at that time, they are kind to the captives. So if a royal blood is in captivity, they still have a position given. There is an identity. So these 12 leaders started with Zerubbabel. Now Jeshua, the second one, is the leader of priests. Starting with these 12 leaders, a group of people returned. These 12 people started this introduction. So you can see that Nehemiah, Mordecai are listed among the 12. So we wonder, are they the Nehemiah in the Bible or Mordecai in the Bible? Well, the author did not tell us specifically. It is possible, but also unlikely, because the time lapse is big. They are the leaders appear 80 years after this. If we read the book of Esther, so Mordecai stayed in Persia. So when it's time of returning, not everyone returned. When we read about these 12 leaders, they respond to the calling of return. Now these 12 people respond to this calling. And it means that some leaders did not respond. So some people did not return on the first wave of return. But these 12 were the first to respond to this calling. Their hearts were stirred. So when Cyrus issued this decree that everyone can return, it's not a command that everyone, you must return, no. These are the people, their hearts were stirred up. And starting with leaders, now, verse 3 to 19. So these verses tell us the different people who return. Verse 3, the number of the men of the people of Israel are listed. So from verses 3 to 19, they tell us the number of people according to the clan, different clans, different families, and then maybe Baruch, and there is like 2,000. Okay, verse 4, the people of Shephatiah, 372. Verse 16, the people of Atta of Hezekiah, 98. Verse 16. So this is a big difference between each people. Some are the big family of 2,000. But maybe you would just have small family, like not more than 100. So it's not in the order of the size of the family. What is it telling us in these verses? So verse 1 to 2, leaders responded to the calling. And verses 3 to 19, people responded clan by clan. The clan, great and small, alike, they responded. So it doesn't mean that only the big family responded. So imagine the historical setting. I want to tell you a picture. Yes, it's a glorious thing to return. But the nations was destroyed for over 70 years. The place they want to return to is somewhere that they have never seen with their eyes. And because now, at that time, they didn't have many photos. No, there were no photos, no picture given them. They can only read what is written, some historical materials. Now they choose to return all by faith. When you return, if you are a big family, like over 2,000 people, when in the time of Persia, then you lead a good life. How can you be a big family? Because you have enough food to eat, enough clothes to put on. You have food to eat, clothes to wear. They are healthy, they live a long life. That means they can give birth, they can have children, they have lots of children. If you are a big family, that means your life is, you don't worry about your life. But this big family, they choose to return. This is their responding in faith. You need to pay the price because you are settled in your own place, but now you're going to somewhere you have never seen. And some small families, maybe less than 100 or just over 200 people, but even small families respond. Well, they need to pay a price for the small family too. They are small even in a great nation. But now they go back to a desolation, a ruined place. How do we know that Jerusalem was desolation? Because as we read the book of Ezra and then Nehemiah, we realize that Jerusalem was a desolation later on. Even though they did rebuild the temple, they knew that it was ruined compared to the former glory. Even the leaders wept as we read on. Yes, the promise of God seemed to come to pass. But when they look at Jerusalem, it's still in ruin, in desolation. So big and small families, they respond by faith and pay a high price. This reminds us, do not take this for granted. So this Ezra, Nehemiah, it tells us the history of revival is actually a miracle. It's the response by a group of godly people who respond to God's calling. Starting with their hearts being stirred, having a longing. So each of them, their name is recorded in the Bible, not by chance. Likewise, we need to think. So if the historical background, the setting, the time we're in, God calls you and me, can we respond? Do not take it for granted. I remember when I respond to God's calling, every time I need to pay a price. When I was still a student, so I responded to calling to pre-evangelize at my campus. Okay, I received the calling and then I went ahead. And many people look at me differently and people will classify me, label me as the religious fanatic. And teachers would ask me, you take so many people to this church, but do you think that there's something wrong with this church? Many people challenged me, I need to pay a price. When I respond to the full-time calling, I also struggled. Now God is asking us through Ezra chapter 2, is our heart stirred? When our heart is stirred, can we really respond? Not just by yourself, but family, whole family. Bring your livestock, all that you have, you answer God's calling. And by faith, you go somewhere you have never been. But that's how the work of God started. When revival starts, leaders must respond. Every family must respond, whether you are of a big family or small. God doesn't honor some big family. It also talks about our discipleship. Does it mean that if we have a lot of people under our discipleship, we are honored specially? No, that's not how God sees it. God sees how we respond, not the numbers. Not about numbers, but whether you are willing to be moved and you will answer the calling. And then verses 20 to 35, people from all corner, all four corners respond. So verses 3 to 19 about families. But here from verse 20 is about the geographic distribution. These cities is the four corners of Jerusalem. Not somewhere far off. It's actually in the province of Judah near Jerusalem. Bethlehem, we have Anathoth, Netophah. These cities surround Jerusalem. It's the four corners of Jerusalem. But different people answer the calling, and the numbers varies. Some are just like a two digits number, but some have three digits or four digits number. But the number is not most important. Verses 20 to 35 tell us one key point. All four corners. When God moves people's heart, people of four corners will respond. And God is also telling us, how does revival come to pass? Leaders respond, families by families, and people of four corners all responded. That really echoes what happened to 611, the birth of 611. When I was young, I was proud to be of 611. I'm still proud of being 611. But when I was young, I really loved hearing my last generation responding to God's calling. When I heard Pastor Adino sharing how he responded to God's full-time calling, I thought I was in a Hollywood movie. I like these heroic movies. It's like one by one, they join these plans of salvation, like the Savior team. When I come to church, I heard a lot of all these revival history stories. When Pastor Joshua and Simo share how God moves them to come back to Hong Kong, and then the Taiwanese pastors responded, like, and then pastors from Canada, from Canada. But when they respond to the calling, they were not pastor, yes, but it's just one family after the other. So Pastor Jason, Pastor Anna, Pastor Deborah came to this place, and then Pastor Gloria came, and Pastor Ruby joined, and Pastor Adino joined. This is revival. When God works, people of four corners will be moved. But today, after two decades, not just the people from four corners, now to Africa, and then even Central America, not just Asian, Chinese, but people of nations. So we must see that revival is happening in our midst. So the miracles happening in Ezra didn't just happen in the Bible. When revival is about to happen, the Spirit of God will move people of nations, people from four corners. We come to 611 from four corners of the earth, and we are part of it. And verses 36 to 59, so it's the people of ministers. The ministers responded. Verse 36, the priests. Verse 40, the Levites. And then verse 41, the singers. Verse 42, the sons of the gatekeepers. And then verse 43 to 54 is about the Nevinims, the people serving in the temple. And then verse 55, the sons of Solomon's servants. They work, serve, minister in the temple. So they are doing some manual, mundane job. It's something very simple, direct task. Maybe manual, labor-intensive work. Now, from 36 to 55, these are the people, God's ministers. So the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and then the God's temple servants. One by one, they also responded. In this revival, what is God's plan? We build the temple so that the worship of God can continue. So these people are stirred, starting from the priests. The Levites, in verse 40, actually many, few thousand of the priests responded. But how about Levites? Only 74 responded in verse 40. So it's a big discrepancy. So many priests, but not many Levites. We believe that during the captivity, the Levites got nothing to do. They were in captivity. The priests held on to their identity, the identity from the family. But how about the Levites? Many people lost that. Normally, you should have many more Levites than priests. But when they were called to return, many Levites have given up. Maybe they have changed their profession. So when they were called to return, only 74 responded. But what's so special? From the number from verses 36 to 58, almost 4,000 people. You know how many people returned in this first wave of returning? In verse 64, 42,000. And those who serve God, 4,000. So normally we should have more Levites but less priests, right? But it's just right. Just 1/10 of the Levites and priests responded to God. Now, what is it telling us? From the numbers, some responded, some don't. But overall, those who serve God, we never lack anything. In revival, we expect many people to respond. Yes, but we do have our struggles. But in this whole historical setting, God wants man to serve him. Then his grace is all sufficient. The vessels, we will not lack vessels. We may struggle. Just imagine this scenario. God moves you and me to respond to a calling. Yes, we struggle and we reject, we turn down. But God will also move others to fill the place. So in my years of serving God, I see how God works this way. God raises up different leaders. But leaders also struggle. And sometimes leader may make some decision. I'll give you a real case scenario. So in the youth army, we have raised up some worshippers, some disciples. But when they are about to enter their workplace or being washed away by the busyness, they left church. Yes, they did not serve as passionate as before. They may draw back, but God continues to move different people. So we just finished a youth cell leaders retreat, as you know. So for a period of time, I feel a bit sad, a bit low, especially during the social movement, the pandemic time. That was the time I take on this full-time calling. I did feel, when I was in the youth army before these two events, I was passionate, I was zealous, I want revival to come. But as I serve full-time, so there is this indifference in the youth. When I was growing up, I felt that everyone wanted to serve God. But for a few years, actually people were distant, people were indifferent, were cold. So we invite people to serve, to join some camp. It seems like we need to force people. But for the youth cell leaders camp, my older sister found a picture. It's the first cell leader retreat of the youth army. Yes, some of them were not with us anymore. In that photo, the first time, it was like 80 to 100 cell leaders, and one third have left. Yes, half have stayed. Maybe they have not gone cold, but they do not serve the youth anymore. And some actually have left the church. But as we take the group photo again, 150 people joined. Yes, God moves people. God moves people. God has raised up 150 youth leaders to serve the youth. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, we are in circle and we confess our sins to God and we cry out to revival. I hear the cries, the weeping, wailing, just keep resonating. God will move people's hearts and men will respond. Maybe some of us, we have struggles, but God never ceases working. And just like this revival, the last paragraph, verses 59 to 62. Oh, another paragraph. Verse 61, three families are named. So they are the sons of priests. Verses 62 and 63, their lineage, their listing, were not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. They cannot eat the most holy food, things, until a new priest is established. I imagine myself to be one of them. We return in such a difficult time. Yes, of course, we want to have more people. No, but their standards has not reduced. They emphasize on the quality, not just the quantity. We still need to be holy. Our choices is different from what the Bible says. Oh, because people respond, we just want as many as possible. But God say no, even though you respond, you must stay in the holiness, in the lineage. They are not rushed. But they are not to say that these three families will never serve again, but they need to wait for the right time. Lastly is verses 64 to 70, is the response as a corporate response. The whole assembly was 42,360, and also male and female servants, 7,300. Over 50,000 people were there. So leaders gave their gifts, and they even make the priestly garments and pay into the project, the work, and then they return to their own cities. They are ready for this revival. When I read this passage, I have a prompting. So almost 50,000 people, they return from captivity. How many people were taken captives? I want to check. When they were taken captives, about 10,000 people were taken captives to Babylon. That's in 2 Kings. About 10,000 people, including the royals, the carpenters, the masons. But now when they return, 50,000. What happened in those 70 years? So these 70 years are dark history in history of Israel. But when God says revival comes, 50,000 people returned. So these 10,000 people were in captivity. They continue to prepare themselves. God continues to work. God continues to supply, provide. Well, number is never a problem. As I meditate on this scripture, God moves me to speak to three groups of people. It's the DSE family. I believe they're not here because they have to go for the public, it's a public exam results for going into universities. Well, number is not a problem. You say, no, my grades are not good enough to go into the university. But just like the Israelite, when they face 70 years, but God say that his plan will surely come to pass. His destiny will come to pass. Return and revival shall come to pass. Number is not a problem. The second group, maybe your income is not good enough. You don't have enough. So financially, it affects our livelihood. But God is also telling us, those who are willing to be with God, then money is not a problem if you're willing to respond to God's calling. You may have struggled, but God is telling us he wants to work and he will prepare. Yes, you cannot see anything in those 70 years. They don't do numbering in those 70 years, but when they return, then you can tell. You have more than enough. The third group is myself. That we have been promised to have 10,000 youth in our youth revival. I do struggle to believe. Where are the people? How do we have 10,000 youth worshiping God? Where? How many secondary school, university I need to visit to have to find the 10,000 youth? But God is comforting everyone who wants to see the youth revival. The seedling of the next generation will be prepared. Tree of Life seedling will be ready. We cannot see it during the process. But when the hand of God is on the move, number is not a problem. Because God will accomplish his plan. Brothers and sisters, let's enter the truth of Ezra chapter 2. We believe and respond. Together we respond. The revival plan in God's kingdom. Let's stand and worship our God. Thank you. Lord, we glorify your name and exalt you. Your name is worthy of our praise in all the earth. We give you thanks, we give you praise. Today we're standing here by your grace alone. As you call us by grace, that you have given us grace so that we can respond by your grace, we thank you. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now these are the people of the province who came back from captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, and everyone to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpah, Bigva, Weham, and Benaiah, the number of the men of the people of Israel. So Father, I give thanks to you. In the past, the leaders of Israel, these leaders, they are willing to respond to your call by faith. They return, starting with themselves. Now today we come before your throne of grace for 611, starting with Pastor Joshua Simo, then Pastor Deborah, Pastor Jason, Pastor Anna, many, many leaders. They are willing to pay the price and then respond to your call. Now, each of us, we respond to God's calling. Now, let's all, starting from the beginning of 611, how God moved people's heart so that people respond to God's calling of revival, we give thanks to God. And we give thanks to God that we also answered the call and we are here today. Give thanks to God. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We were in captivity before. We were idol worshiping. But you have brought us to Hong Kong, to Tsuen Wan, to North Point, to 611. We have encountered you, have come to know you, and then we are filled by your Holy Spirit. We are chosen by you. Thank you for calling each of us. This is your grace. Your grace given to us freely. We're worshiping you in your temple today. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for calling people from four corners, from nations. And then we have people from marketplace. In 2009, during the financial tsunami, you called me to church, being healed, being delivered, being discipled, being planted. Now I can serve you too. We are in different families and we are being called. We were in captivities. Maybe our lives in captivity. Maybe financially you are in captivity. But today, each of us, whether you are watching online, you are attending on site, you have returned to God's temple after captivity. Now get into two by two, get into pairs and share. We have chosen to return to God's temple. Let's testify to God's grace and his work. Get two by two and share God's salvation in your life. Now we can pray for each other and thank God for our the other partner. We thank God for the work of God in our lives and pray for each other that they are delivered, they are willing to return. And we thank God for that. Before you, we praise you and thank you. We were in captivity to different places. We are scattered. We are taken captives by finance, work, addiction. And then we have broken relationships, so we cannot see you. Today we experience your grace and we return to your house. And many people were in distress and they were in pressure, they cannot come out of it. We want to surrender all these groups to you, that you were in captivity and you want to bring the people of like you to come out of captivity. If you're willing, then you can stand from your seat. Maybe you were delivered from broken relationship, from finance struggles. Brothers and sisters, if you want to respond to this, then you can stand up. You stand up to show that you were in captivity, you are liberated. Now you want to bring people of similar situation to freedom as well. We all are willing to give you our lives, your scriptures, your words, stirred up our hearts. We turn. It starts with the leaders responding. I invite all the MG leaders to come to the front. MG leaders, that you are stirred by God's heart. No, your hearts are stirred by God. you receive the calling of revival, it doesn't matter whether your tribe is big or small. It doesn't matter. The number doesn't matter, but it's about your heart to respond. Not just ourselves. And we bring our family members one by one, we respond to God's calling. Now you go back. Okay, the MG leaders, on behalf of all the 611 MG leaders, they will come to the brothers and sisters and invite people to come to the front. So they will come to all brothers and sisters to invite brothers and sisters to respond regardless of the price we need to pay. We are willing to be stirred by God. By faith, we come to the front and respond to God's calling. Every tribe, we will respond to God's calling. Not just a family and a family. God also calls people of four corners. From the west, from the east, from the south, from the north. Please come to the front. There's still some space in front. We don't just have people from Taiwan in 611, Canada, Singapore. Now we have South Africa, Costa Rica, Malawi. We give thanks to God. Let's lift up our hand. Representative from each part declare that we are willing to respond to God's calling for the revival. And that in the future, God will bring more and more people from four corners. That God will carry out his salvation plan. People from each nation to come on stage and declare that Costa Rican, Pablo and Jocelyn. Pablo, Jocelyn. You can say it in Spanish. Oh. Yeah, thank you. Let's all pray and cry out to God. Give us the fire, let the fire revival ignite us, kindle us. Maybe we are in difficulty, we are in struggle, but we ask God, Spirit, to fill us. We return. We want to return and connect with you. We want to worship you and serve you. I call all the co-workers to go on stage. Co-workers, please go on stage. That we are willing to serve him all the days of our lives. Yes, all co-workers, please go on stage. And if you're not co-workers, then please pray for our co-workers. So the singers, the Levites, the priests, the gatekeepers, all the everyone just leading us, not just ourselves. We want to respond to our God. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. We give you thanks. Thank you for calling each of us, each Levite. In even time, you called us to serve you full time at your temple. Right, we give you our lives. We thank you that you have expectation on of us. You want to be with you. You want to be like you. We will stay in your holiness. Help us, Lord. That we adorn ourselves with your holiness. Help us. Let with our pure hearts we serve you and we connect with your heart. And all our lives we respond to your calling. And we serve you in this temple. May you help us. We don't just respond to ourselves, we bring our family. We want to bring more and more people to respond to your calling. And we take you as our Lord and Savior. That you delight in 611. Let your glory fill this temple. The fire of revival will spread here. And today, the group of the brothers and sisters, they have teenage children, they are receiving the DSE results. So this is a major event in life because it will decide whether they can continue their study. Let's lift up our hand and then pray for this youth. God, we cry out to you. We lift up our hand and pray for the youth. May you be with them. Give them your peace, your direction. When they face the result, your peace fills them. Thank you and we praise you. Let's receive blessing. In the name of Jesus, I bless brothers and sisters and the whole earth. People from the four corners will return to God's temple. In the name of Jesus, everything that has breath will worship God in his temple. In the name of Jesus, the people of all the earth will exalt Jesus and return to God's temple. God's temple will be exalted in all the earth. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.